Today we're interviewing Sister Janet Mauch, a sister of St. Joseph, whose sister home is in Baden, Pennsylvania. To give you a little idea of who we are interviewing and what she's like, I'd like to just use a quote here to start us off. She once said, "I continue to learn about and struggle with the disparity racism causes in our society and world. This suffering continues to shape how I do what I do." Well, welcome, Sister Janet. Glad to have you, and thank you for cooperating in this interview. Would you first of all just give us a little background of what you're doing and where you're at right now in your life?
Well, I have the privilege of being at Washington Theological Union right now. I'm doing a six-month feasibility study to see if there's a possibility to develop a program of ongoing formation for priests, both religious and diocesan, sisters, brothers, and laity, actually. So we're looking at programs specifically designed for religious, specifically designed for diocesan clergy, specifically designed for lay education. And in particular, we're focusing on those who are in sponsored works of religious to make sure that the Catholic identity of those institutions continue into the future. So it's very exciting to be here.
It's nice to have you here. Well, let's start with a little interview in the area I think that you really have at heart in your whole life. You told me that you have been in public ministry for 50 years. Wow. Is there any ministry or incident in your ministry that stands out as particularly transformative for you as a person?
Well, when I think about a really transformative experience, I think at the time I had just left community leadership. And a person I had worked with in the diocese had just been named director of a satellite campus of a local university. And the wonderful thing about that satellite campus, it was located in an urban area in an African-American community. Most of the students were African-American and working women for the most part. They all had families, and they would come at night for their classes. But the unique thing about this campus was that every subject was taught through the African-American perspective. So history was taught from what African-Americans went through in America. Literature was taught through African-American authors. And even the sciences were taught. The entry point for teaching the sciences was looking at the diseases in an urban area and tracing the origins of those diseases, and that's how the women learned about the sciences. It was an incredibly creative program, and the women, for the most part, never had known that everything they had learned in school up to that point was, for the most part, taught from a white perspective, a dominant perspective, and for the most part, a male perspective. So this was a whole illumination for them, and such a strengthening in their own identity as African-American women. Now, the program was incredibly successful. I was hired to do community outreach, and when the woman who hired me, she was the director of that satellite campus, when she hired me, this was her job description to me: go wherever women gather and listen to them. Period. That was the job. And the purpose of that was to go out into the neighborhood, get a feel for the needs in the neighborhood, and see how the university could use its resources to begin to meet some of those needs. So it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And so I would basically walk the streets. But it was a neighborhood I had not yet worked in. I had worked in other urban areas in the city, but that particular neighborhood was new to me. So I knew I had a lot to learn. So I'd go to every meeting there was just to listen, just to try to learn about the neighborhood. And gradually I built up relationships, especially with the people who lived in the public housing communities there. And if you ever know anything about public housing communities, they all have a tenant council. And those people who are on a tenant council roll with an iron fist. So I was trying to meet with the president of one of the local tenant communities, housing communities. And I would call her office. I would go to her office. I could never find her. She never answered my phone calls. So after I worked there for about 6 weeks, this woman who I had seen at every meeting came up to me and she said, Sister Janet? And I said, yes. And she told me her name. And it was the woman I'd been trying to reach. And she said, I think we can work together. She said, I've been observing you. So that was great. And she just wanted to make sure I wasn't going to come in the neighborhood and tell everybody what to do. And she appreciated the fact that I was came in as a learner. And she was terrific. Like, she walked me through the neighborhood because she knew if people saw me with her, I was okay. She told me where I could go alone, where I could only go with another African American, and where I should never go in that neighborhood. And she was a wonderful mentor. And she would often call, you know, and say, we're having a meeting with the mayor or a member of the city council. We need a white face. So we developed a wonderful friendship and a wonderful working relationship. And she really did mentor me. And because the two campuses, the main campus of the university and the satellite campus, were only about a mile apart, I was back and forth between the two a lot. But what I began to realize was that I was associated with the satellite campus. And I was treated that way. I was treated very differently. And you have to realize, I had just come out of leadership in my own community. So I was used to some respect, I guess. And when I would go to the main campus, it was clear they were looking at me with disdain because I was associated with the other neighborhood. And while the administrators of the university were very much in favor of this program and the satellite campus, they had not educated the faculty and the staff. And as the women who went to that campus, they would go there for 2 years and then they would go to the main campus. When they would come to the main campus, they would begin raising questions like, why don't we ever use African American authors in any of our courses? And then begin to share what they learned, you know, in the first 2 years. And they would get remarks like, we've already done so much for you. And there was a complete ignorance at the main university campus about what they could learn from the African American experience. And that, for me, began a very great transformation within myself, because though I had worked almost all my life in the African American community, I had never been treated as a minority. And this experience gave me kind of the privilege of being part of the African American community. So that experience was life-changing. And there's a white priest who works in this same neighborhood, and we compared notes, and he said one of the transformative moments for him was they were painting something, and he said, "I think I'd like it painted flesh colored." And one of the guys said, "Father, whose flesh?" Because we don't even realize what a dominant culture we are living as whites in this nation. But that experience of actually being seen as a member of that community was profoundly transformative for me.
Well, thank you very much for that insight. I can sort of resonate with what you're saying, because one of my best friends is African American, and because we hung around so much together, I too began to take on the eyes of seeing things to the African Americans. I'll never forget one night we were watching an antebellum movie, and all of these beaux were walking around, these belles, or whatever you call them, with their bonnets, and I said, "What a wonderful time that must have been." And my friend said, "Yeah, for some." And I got the message right away. What would you, in your experiences now, pass on to somebody who would be interested in this work? And what would be the core message that you would give to them?
I think we really cannot underestimate white privilege, the things that we never have to deal with simply because our skin is lighter colored. That friend of mine who hired me has a doctorate, but she has yet to go into a department store where she isn't being followed just to make sure she doesn't pick up something. And that's something that's never happened to me. There is that terrible blight on the American psyche because of slavery and the victimization of a whole race of people that really does need to be exorcised from our nation's psyche. There was a wonderful article in the Washington Post, I think it was in May. It was an interview with Archbishop Tutu, and he said, when he first came to the United States, he was appalled by racism, and he realized that it was worse here than it was in South Africa, because in South Africa, everybody knew the roles of apartheid, and everybody could follow the roles. You knew what was going to happen to you. But here, racism is so subtle that it makes it all the more dangerous and all the more violent. So it's something we need to work on. And I think if somebody who's Caucasian is working in an African-American community or any community of another culture, you go in as a learner because there's so much to learn. There's so much we will never know simply because we don't bear the whole history that a people bears. So I think that would be the prime thing, to always know you are always learning, and to take the minority role in that situation so that the culture, the new culture that you're being incorporated into, that culture becomes the dominant and you become the minority.
Yeah, as you were just discussing this right now about being a learner and being docile, I couldn't help but think of John Paul II, who talks about solidarity so often, and I never really could quite understand what he meant by solidarity, and finally it hit me one day that exactly what you're saying is what he was saying, and that you would really have to enter into the other person and live as if you were living their life, feel what they're feeling, see things to the eyes that they have. And that's the way we become closer to each other. Not to look at them, but to look with them and look from them to our environment. Well, I want to thank you. I think this was a very apropos moment between us, especially with Obama now being president.
Exciting.
Yes. Yeah, and I really think we're going to see a whole new way of looking at African Americans and living with them at a much closer range. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Gene.
Yeah.